Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Politics, eh? I am your host, Aiden, and today I've got two pretty big things, both elections I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Ontario election and how that went down and my thoughts about it. And then I also want to talk about the Liberal leadership election and going forward with Canada, what that looks like. And I'm just going to be talking about like explaining how that all went down, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that weren't really paying attention to the Liberal leadership election, which is kind of fair. But then for Ontario, I'm just gonna give like some statistics and my opinions about it, because I've got some opinions. So let's just get into it. Okay, so starting with the Ontario election, I just want to say first that Doug Ford won another majority, which I'm disappointed about, and I'm very frustrated for, I think there's a few reasons. I previously talked about kind of the NDP's problems and why it's difficult for them to actually win an election, whether that is federally or even provincially. I was focusing on provincially, but whether that's provincially or federally, why it's difficult for them to win an election. And I think that played into a part here, but I also don't think that was really the main reason. The two main reasons I'm frustrated and upset about this election is, one, the voter turnout was, in my opinion, absolutely horrendous. 45.4% voter turnout of eligible voters came out and vote. I think that's, frankly, horrendous. It's horrible. The fact that less than 50% of eligible voters actually went out and voted in this election, in any election, I think is horrible. Especially when I think it's very important to go out and vote. And especially now with all the dumb crap Doug Ford has done and all the scandals he's gotten in, I don't understand why people didn't go out and vote. I understand, but like, obviously, oh, it was bad weather. Oh, now that's so difficult to go out and vote. I don't care. I went out and voted. I went out and canvassing. I went out and volunteered for Catherine Fife's campaign. And I was out in the freezing cold. It was so cold, and I was going around knocking on doors, talking to people. If I could do that, you could go out and vote. And I find that really, really frustrating. Obviously, it's exactly what Doug Ford wanted, is that he knew that people wouldn't go out and vote with a snap election, barely any prep time to actually go out and campaign for all the other parties. And then people didn't want to go out and vote because it was winter, and it was honestly pretty bad weather. I understand, but I still think it's very, very frustrating. Now, after this election, there have been a lot of people talking about like electoral reform and whatever. We need proportional representation. I have opinions on that. I don't think that proportional representation would work very well in Canada. Federally, I don't think it would work very well, because proportional representation is like, if you get 30% of the vote, you get 30% of the seats. That means that you no longer have a local MP, which I think would cause a lot of problems in Canada, in that we have a very, very large and diverse country. So by no longer having that, you're going to have, I don't know, someone from like Alberta complaining that they don't have proper representation because a party only got 5%, so they can only fill up 5% of the seats. So let's say it's 5 seats. Obviously it's not, but easy math. Usually in proportional representation, if you get less than 5% of the vote, you don't qualify. So if a party makes 5% of the vote, they get 5% of the seats. Okay, well then who goes? Well, you got to have the party leader, and then you have to have all the other people that they think are essential. Maybe that's only from one province. I don't think if it's an, I don't even think it's fair if it's only Alberta, because then you're not getting a proper representation across the entire country. That's why I like having the MPs. And I still don't think it would work very well in Ontario. I think we have electoral reform. It needs to be cohesive throughout the entire country, not like, oh, Ontario's proportional representation, but then federally it's still first past the post, or federally it's ranked ballot, because that just is incredibly confusing. I think the much easier solution to this and more realistic solution is mandatory voting. With mandatory voting, you are required by law to go out and vote. And people will be like, oh, well, what if I don't actually want to vote? Well, then you can just go and there will be like a section on the ballot that says no options or anything like that. What it looks like if you don't go out and vote, Australia has mandatory voting and they have 90%+ voter turnout. And the fines that they get if you don't go out and vote for a first-time offender is $50. And then it increases to $75. It's like, it's not that big of a deal. It's small enough that like it doesn't just bankrupt someone. But it's also large enough that people don't want to deal with paying the fine. People don't want to deal with paying $50 to the government. They would much rather go out and vote. It also makes it so that like the government has an obligation to make voting easy for you. There's a lot of confusion about what you actually needed to vote, whether you needed a voter ID card. You didn't. You just needed some form of identification, your driver's license, probably like some mail that had your address on it just to double check. But there's a lot of confusion about it. And it would also mean that you would have to call an election when everybody's able to actually go out. So I think that is the best solution to this problem, and makes the most sense and is the easiest to implement. But my other frustration about this election is with how the Liberals went about it. I understand that the Liberals wanted to bounce back and whatever, they wanted to bounce back and get more seats and whatnot, but they did it in the absolute worst way possible. The Conservatives either have the same amount of seats as they did last time, or they gained seats. That is horrible. The only people that lost seats was the NDP, and the Liberals gained seats. So where did that come from? Well, it came from NDP ridings. This is a problem with Bonnie Crombie. She even did this during the debate, which I thought was so, so stupid, is fighting with the NDP. There's no reason I don't understand why she would fight with the NDP, why she thinks that it's a good idea to try to steal NDP voters for Liberal voters. What the Liberals should have done is gone to Conservative ridings and campaigned there. Steal the Conservative vote. It's very easy for the Liberals to do that. They just have to be a lot more centrist. Even a little center-right the Liberals can get away with. And that they just have to go and steal a Conservative vote. In a lot of Conservative ridings. But it's clear that Bonnie Crombie's idea in this just was not good enough because she didn't even win her own seat. And I think that's really telling of how the mess that the Liberal Party is in, is that she didn't win her own riding. And I think that's really disappointing for her. And if you wanted the Liberals to win, that's really disappointing for the Liberals as a whole. But like, I think it makes sense. Like, she didn't really do a very good job. I don't think she lost by like 3% of the vote. And I think that they should have been focusing on more conservative. Like, she didn't really push back against the Conservatives a whole lot. I felt like she should have, or the Liberal Party as a whole should have doubled down and only ever talked bad about the Conservatives. You didn't see the NDP and the Green talking bad about each other during the debate. They were actually very nice. that's what it should have been. It should have been a 3-1. Instead, Bonnie Crombie made it a 1v1v2. And I think that's why the Liberals didn't do that good. The NDP is still the official opposition. The Liberals did gain seats, but Bonnie Crombie lost her own riding. She's not going to be the leader anymore. She shouldn't be the Liberal leader anymore. They should have an election. They should figure out who it's going to be, and then they should change their idea of how they're going to do this. They need to rethink, okay, who are we actually going to get votes from? We need to get votes from the Conservative ridings, not the NDP ridings, because even if they took all the NDP ridings, would you look at that? You're still letting the PCs win. That's my main frustration with this, is that not enough people went out and voted. And my next thing for the next 4 years is going to be, well, if you didn't vote, I don't really care about your opinion. can't really complain about politics in Ontario if you didn't even go to vote. If you weren't eligible, obviously, that's why you couldn't vote. But if you didn't go out and vote, you can't really complain when life gets a whole lot worse in Ontario, when healthcare gets significantly worse than it already is, when education continues to go down, when more and more and more scandals come out of about Doug Ford. And we can't even do anything about it because the PCs have a majority. They don't even have a minority. At least if they had a minority, they would have to play ball with the other parties and they could even call a vote of no confidence if they really wanted to. But the PCs have majority, so it doesn't really matter. Something massive would have to come out, which I don't really see happening. Okay, so I want to move now to the Liberal leadership race or election. So now I want to move to the Liberal leadership election that happened. If you weren't following it, the four candidates were Mark Carney, Chrystia Freeland, Kiriana Gold, and Frank Bayliss. Now, the only two people that everyone was really thinking or caring about was Mark Carney and Chrystia Freeland. Chrystia Freeland obviously being the deputy prime minister and a very, very, very close ally to Justin Trudeau. And then Mark Carney being the former governor of the Bank of Canada, former governor of the Bank of England. And I believe he was an economic advisor for Trudeau. Hasn't ever been like a real elected politician or anything like that. He's only really been in like the private sector and stuff like that. But Mark Carney won. So Mark Carney is now going to be our prime minister. I believe he's going to be getting sworn in a little bit. But what's crazy about it is by how much of a margin he won. Chrystia Freeland got 8% of the vote. The other two candidates got 3.2 and 3%. What does that leave Mark Carney with? 85.9% of the vote. That is more than Trudeau got in his leadership election back in like 2012, which back then was surprising and called a landslide. This is insane. For Freeland not even to get double digits, not even to get at least 10%, clearly shows that people just don't have confidence in her. Now, I'm somewhat glad that she did not win. Because I think that she would then immediately be voted out. I think that people just associate her with Trudeau too much. And that would be really, it'd be really disappointing that the two times we would have had a female prime minister, they get put in kind of like against the will of the people. Like they don't actually get to run and get elected. And then they have to call an election and immediately lose. That'd be really, really disappointing. So that's why I'm kind of glad that she did not win. I also think that Mark Carney would do a pretty good job. You know, he's got the economic background, and I think that's the perspective he's going to be looking about it. And I'm glad. I'm glad that we're going to be having an economic perspective and not just like a, I don't know, like culture war perspective. Like I don't care about that. Like, I want to make sure that I'm still going to be able to get a job. So now, where does this kind of leave Freeland and all this? The CBC was posting like live updates about this. And they say that, quote, when a new party leaders are chosen, they often make a point of including the second place finisher to ensure party unity. But Freeland got just 8% of the vote on the first ballot. It's unclear what that means for her role in a Carney government, or whether she would even want one. In his speech, Carney said that the Liberal Party is united and ready to build a better country. The numbers bear that out. Even the Carney camp was not expecting this big of a win. So, yeah. First, I just want to touch on that Carney wasn't even expecting getting this much, like this big of a win. I think it was said that he was expecting, I think, like 70%, somewhere in the 70s is kind of what he was thinking. But he clearly got way more than that at 85.9. And yeah, so where does this leave Freeland? I think that she's kind of got a decision to make. Does she want to continue in politics? I think if she does, I don't know. I think it's difficult to say whether Carney will keep her in, will give her a cabinet position. I think maybe what he'll do is give her a Senate seat. If there's one available, you know, that's kind of what happens with prime ministers and a member of parliament that they don't really care about and that they don't really want is that they make them a senator because it looks really nice. Oh, well, you got a promotion. But then they don't have any say in the government, really. Because if you don't know, the Senate, the House will propose legislation, get it passed, goes to the Senate. The Senate is supposed to be a second sober thought. They pretty much always just pass everything. It's not like the U.S. where it's super divided by like Congress and the Senate or anything like that. Our Senate usually just passes everything that comes up. But yeah, when prime ministers appoint members of parliament as senators, it's usually of like, oh, I want to reward you, but I don't have anywhere in my government for you. So that's probably what Carney will do, is will be like, oh, I want to reward you, Freeland, for whatever reasons, but I don't want to actually have you in my government, so I will appoint you as a senator. Senators can be a part of cabinet, but usually in stuff like that, you appoint a senator so that they don't have to be a part of your cabinet. So I think that's probably what will happen with Freeland, is that she becomes a senator if a space opens up. I think if we're thinking logically, that makes the most sense of what will happen. Is that she would become a senator, she would get a Senate seat. I think that the biggest thing that the Conservatives and Poilievre specifically have been trying to do is market Mark Carney as Justin Trudeau, you know, the whole he's just like Justin, which I think is pretty funny. I think those videos are hilarious, because they're just trying to continue to ride the wave of Justin Trudeau hate. But the other thing is that he's carbon tax Carney and he loves the carbon tax. But Carney has said that he will eliminate the consumer carbon tax. Another quote from the CBC says that the new Liberal leader, highlighting how he's a pragmatist, said his government will, quote, will immediately eliminate the divisive consumer carbon tax on families and farmers, as well as small and medium-sized businesses. It's a pitch that attempts to cut right to at the heart of Pierre Poilievre's message. The Conservative leader has spent years blasting the carbon tax, and removing it was expected to be a cornerstone of the next Conservative federal election campaign. Meanwhile, Carney said his government will keep Canada's counter-tariffs on the United States until the Americans show us respect and make credible reliable commitments to free and fair trade. So basically Carney has said that he'll eliminate the carbon tax, which kind of eliminates a lot of what the Conservatives are trying to campaign on, which I think is pretty funny. I don't really know what the Conservatives are going to campaign on anymore. You can't continue riding the campaign of, oh, he's just like Justin, because eventually that doesn't matter anymore. Like it just doesn't. He is just like, I don't know. It's really funny to me that they're going to have to figure out a way to campaign other than just saying he's just like Justin Trudeau and he's carbon tax Carney. They're gonna have to do something else. And I don't think they really have anything else, because what do the PCs have? What does Poilievre have? If you think about his campaign, he doesn't actually say anything he wants to do. I've said this before. I've had people tell me, no, he does. Just do your own research. He actually does say it a lot. Okay, what does he say? He's going to axe the tax. He's going to stop the crime. He's going to build the homes. He's going to bring it home to Canada. I'm sorry. What the hell does that even mean? What does any of that slogan garbage mean? He's going to axe the tax. What tax? Okay, the carbon tax? Great. Carney said he's going to get rid of that. So what other tax are you going to ax? You're going to ax taxes for like just actual tax rates? Okay. Who? I'm very interested, because it never said that. I read the Conservatives like campaign, and they said that they want to combine tax brackets. Never said which tax brackets. I'm all for lowering or combining, making it easier and the burden of tax less on the middle and lower class. That is not what the Conservatives are going to do. They're going to make it easier for the rich to continue to get rich, and they're going to lesser the burden of taxation on the rich. That's all they're going to do. So they're not actually going to lower your taxes. I'm an average everyday citizen, not going to do that. So ask the tax. Don't even say what they're going to do other than the carbon tax, and even beyond that, barely even explain what they're going to do. And I did my research and learned about it, and it doesn't look very promising. So they're going to axe the tax. They're going to stop the crime. Okay, how are you going to stop the crime? You don't say anything other than stop the crime. I can say I'm going to stop the crime, but you can't just snap your fingers and crime is stopped. How are you actually going to do that? What are you actually going to do? You can't just throw people in jail for longer. That doesn't work. It is proven that that doesn't work. You need increase in not military presence. You need increase in police. Sorry. When there's more police around, people are more afraid of committing crimes. A criminal doesn't think about, man, you know, if I rob this store, I could get now 10 years in prison, or I could get life in prison. Oh man, I got to rethink this. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do it. No, they don't care. They're just going to do it because they don't think that they're going to get caught. And then when they do get caught, okay, they don't, like, it's, there's nothing they can do at that point. They care about the sentence when they get caught. But also, do you have enough money to hire more cops? And I don't want cops everywhere. That's like very dystopian and like Big Brother. Put cops around like bad places, or around like sensitive businesses or something like that, like jewelry stores or things like that. But like, I know this is not the same, but Doug Ford has talked about wanting to bring back the death sentence. He said bring back old Sparky. That does nothing. It does nothing but kill innocent people, because there are a lot of people that get wrongfully convicted, get the death sentence, die, and then years later, it turns out that they didn't actually commit the crime. Happened in Canada. I'm forgetting what case it was, but there was a case in Canada where a kid was sentenced to the death sentence. Finally, decades later, comes out that, oh yeah, he didn't actually ever commit this murder. And he would have been dead if they were able to go along with it. So don't provide anything for that. So axe attacks, not actually, we don't really know what they're going to do there. Stop the crime. We don't actually know how they're going to stop the crime. Build the homes. Okay. You want to build the homes. That's good. That's good. That's good. Where are you going to build the homes? Who's going to be able to build the homes? Is it going to be developer friends you have? Because Doug Ford has developer friends, and clearly that went really well. I'm sure that Polyev has developer friends in his ear that want him to give them special rights and land and stuff like that, or they have land that they want zoning rights on and stuff like that. So I don't really know how amazing that's going to be. And yeah, where are you going to build the homes? You don't say anything about what you're actually going to do. I've heard him talk about how he wants to force municipalities to build homes, and that they're going to cut funding if they don't meet housing quota, which, like, yeah, it always works out really well when you beat something into submission when they don't have enough money to do something and you continue to take away money. That works really well. And then they're going to bring it home to Canada. I don't know what the heck that means. I don't know what bring it home to Canada means. He's trying to, like, stand up to Trump, which I'm glad he is, but it's amusing because, dude, you have so many people who are massive Trump supporters, and you have purposely gotten those types of people. You've purposely campaigned, and you've wanted those what do they call it, maple MAGAs. you've purposely tried to position yourself to get those votes. So I can't really trust what Polyev says that he's going to do against Trump. If I'm weighing Polyev and Carney, I have to go with Carney, especially because he has more experience. Polyev has only experience in being a politician. Carney at least has experience. He has a relationship with England, which is looking better than the U.S. And he has a lot of economic experience, which I think is most important right now. I don't care about any culture war crap going on. I just want people to be able to live their lives. Stop worrying about what some person wants to do. What matters for everybody is the economy and making sure that we're able to go forward and not suffer with all the crap that the U.S. is proposing that they'd want to do. Now, I want to move into like more my opinions on like what happens with Carney now. Now, Carney, he's elected Liberal leader. He's going to be prime minister. I think the best thing for him to do, become prime minister, immediately call for an election. Don't do anything. The second he becomes prime minister, or the next day he becomes prime minister on Monday, Tuesday, boom, calls an election, comes out, says, I want to do an election. If he can position himself, and this is what he should do, he should come out, say, I'm grateful for the Liberal election that happened, and clearly they want me as their leader. I think that it is fair that the Canadian people decide that they want me to be their leader, not just because I inherit it, but because the Canadian people actually want it. If he can come out and say that, I think that he has an amazing shot at winning, because that shows to people that he's like the Polyev can't campaign on like, oh, he's just trying to take power and whatever, and he's suppressing the will of the Canadian people. He can't campaign on that. If he comes out and immediately says like, no, I want an election, I want you people, I want Canadians to go out and vote, I want you to decide that you want me to be your prime minister. That's not exactly how it works. You don't go out and vote for the prime minister, but you get what I mean. That would look much better than him being like, well, we're going to try to deal with Trump a little bit. No. Just go with, boom, immediate election. So we don't have to deal with crap of hearing the conservatives screaming about a vote of no confidence until October. They can also really ride the wave of Poilievre just being Trump and being like, yeah, we have to deal with this Trump threat. I have the economic experience. Poilievre doesn't. Poilievre's just going to bend back. He's just going to do whatever Trump says. I don't know. I'm not confident in saying that Poilievre can really stand up to Trump. I don't know, maybe he can, but I just don't trust it. I don't think he can. I think Carney can at least stand up to him. I think he can push us through this trade war better, through the economics that we're going through, because he just has the better experience. And I think that Poilievre is really, really riding on just people not really understanding. I want to play the ad that I'm talking about. I'm sure that everybody knows what ad I'm talking about, but I want to play it just to be able to talk about it a bit more. Alrighty, here we go. We got a ad on the conservative YouTube channel, and it's literally just titled "Carbon Tax Carney." No description. Here, let's go ahead and listen to this.
Mark Carney is back from Europe.
And speaking as a European.
To continue what Justin Trudeau started.
A steady increase in the price of carbon. Carbon prices have been applied sparingly. They've been set far too low.
He even called Trudeau's carbon tax a model for others. So no matter what he calls it.
Effectively a shadow carbon price.
Or price on pollution.
You're going to keep paying.
In some form of carbon tax.
Carbon tax Carney. He's just like Justin.
You sneaky.
Wow. Incredible stuff right there. That's okay. At the end, they're playing a clip of, I'm blanking on what is, The Daily Show. And the host calls Carney sneaky. So they've made a whole campaign about that as well.
Trump seizes on weakness. And nobody's weaker than Mark Carney. Carney sold out Canada when he moved his company's headquarters to New York, giving Canadian jobs to America.
You sneaky.
Carbon tax Carney. If Carney wins, Canada loses.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's very funny. It's very interesting. I'm excited and optimistic and hopeful about how this is gonna go. I think that it's either going to be really close, or I think it's going to be a really big upset. And I don't know. And I can see it going either way. I can see it being like an absolute, landslide for the Liberals and the Conservatives just losing out. I can also see it as a landslide for the Conservatives. I'm very, very interested to see how this goes. And if you are interested as well and want to continue and follow along, make sure to come back next time for another episode of Politics A. Thank you for listening. And yeah, I will hopefully see you all next time.